You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Welcome to an emergency edition of Light Years. Andy Liu, we didn't want to have to do this episode. No disrespect to our guest, who we love and adore, but generally not the terms we have him on. We have Dr. Nirav Pandya joining us to discuss Steph Curry's injury. Doc, how you doing?
Doing all right. I agree with you. This was not the thing I wanted to talk about heading into the playoffs.
They're like the Grim Reaper. If we see you on, it's these are dark times, Doc. These are dark times. There's only so much time left in the regular season. And I mean, this is the best player. This is not like it's James Wiseman. Love James Wiseman. But this is Steph Curry. And I mean, give a shoot us straight. How bad is it?
Right. So I think number one last night, you know, the thing you're worried about the most is anything broken, because that's immediate. You're gone. You're done. Season's over. You know, see you next year. You know, and then they said they were getting this MRI, and the fact that they got the MRI like immediately, you know, was a little bit concerning, because typically, wow, you know, with foot injuries, you're like, look, let's check it out the next day. If it's sore, things don't look good, let's check it the next day. But they got it immediately, and you're talking, there's this ligament sprain. And I know the initial report said, oh, no structural damage, but a ligament, you know, is basically the structure that connects two bones together. And, you know, there's some degree of tearing over there. And the one you get concerned about a lot is the Lisfranc ligament, which is what you hear NFL players get. They didn't name that in the report, but, you know, there are a lot of little ligaments in there and other ones are fine. But if that one's injured, that's the one that could be potentially surgical if, you know, he sees a specialist who says that, or something that could take 6 to 8 weeks to kind of heal on the back end. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, even though nothing is broken. We still don't know the exact time frame based on what was reported.
The message that's been put out there through Woj, Shams, and just the general media apparatus is there's optimism with the Warriors that he will be back before the playoffs. Now, that could mean the playoffs are his first game or something like that. But what do you take from that optimism message?
Yeah, that means to me that someone probably knows that it may not be a Lisfranc ligament. It's just like a regular kind of foot sprain. You know, the foot just kind of things are stretched out. And then it totally makes sense in general for like your garden variety kind of foot sprain, 3 to 4 weeks. You know, obviously Anthony Davis is kind of paralleling this a little bit. He's kind of at week four, but you know, he's a bigger guy, bigger injury history than Steph. So in general, you look at NBA players 3 to 4 weeks. So that makes sense and gets him ready for the playoffs. The thing I'm a little bit worried about with Steph is that, you know, he's got that ankle on that same side. So how does having a foot injury with a history of ankle sprains kind of play out in terms of him coming back? And do you have to be extra cautious to make sure that he's really ready? Can he jump into big minutes right away after 3 to 4 weeks off? And that's something that we'll see as he kind of progresses through.
That's the one is, you know, I'm just going to take it face value. 3 to 4 weeks, he's back with a game or two left of the regular season. We've seen him come back two times now, totally different injuries, right? Both in the knee. I'm sure you remember. He both came back twice, you know, relative, like, okay. And then he warmed up, he was fine. Does this affect him differently? Is this maybe easier, quote unquote? I don't even know if that's the right question. Like, is it easier to come back from? Like,
you're talking about the 2016 and the 2018 playoffs?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, I think this is a little bit easier to come back from in the sense that it typically doesn't linger. Like, once it's better, it's better. And it won't be something necessarily that he can't condition on. I mean, it's really hard with the knee to kind of get conditioning in. So you can do stuff to kind of keep his conditioning up. The thing that you worry about is that, you know, if you get to that first round of the playoffs and there still is a little lingering soreness, how's that going to impact him in terms of his shot? How's that going to impact him in terms of, he's a mobile guy, you know, he's running around doing a lot of things. So that's a little bit more of a worry I have, is how is he going to be able to, what makes Steph Curry great is all his movement. And when your foot's impacted and you got a bad ankle, you know, above it, is that going to impact his playing? So hopefully, you know, this turns around quickly, you know, like he's feeling good in 2 weeks and they're being cautious, and then he has 2 weeks to kind of get back to where he needs to go. But if he's still kind of recovering come that first round of the playoffs, I agree with Andy. Like that's something you get a little bit more worried about. And is he suddenly going to re-injure himself or have a poor performance? Everyone's like, oh geez, you know, like his shot's off, he's not, you know, passing well, everything's kind of going downhill.
Yeah. So the one thing I wanted to ask was, when you observed the injury, what was your initial thought? Because I'm going to be honest with you, like we've all seen Steph get hurt a lot over, I mean, he's been playing for the Warriors for 14 years. So we've seen a lot of stuff. It didn't look that bad when he ran off the court. Like part of me was like, oh, it looks like a minor sprain. Maybe he'll be out for like a game or two. Is that just kind of how these things go? Like, yeah, he jogged off, but then it was a thing, or should I have not been reading anything into that?
No, I thought the same thing. You know, when I saw it happen, you know, first of all, I was like, oh, geez, is Marcus Smart going to go for his knee? And then I was like, okay, look, knee looks okay. And I'm like, oh, this is like a Steph Curry, you know, ankle tweak. He'll go get it taped, come on back and be fine. And he ran off. It didn't seem like he was reacting like this was something serious. So initially I thought what had happened is that, you know, I think it was almost last year at the Boston game, the same thing happened where he kind of, you know, his brace kind of went into his foot and gave him some discomfort. And I'm like, he's probably going to come back out. They're just being cautious. But, the fact that they, you know, they got the MRI, I almost wonder if they're just being extra cautious with him. And what we're going to get is, yeah, he's fine. He saw his specialist. We're just going to kind of rest him and get him better. And this was just because it's Steph Curry in the playoffs and he got an MRI. Maybe if Moses Moody or Kuminga had this happen, they would have been like, look, give it a couple of days and get back on the court. Because a lot of times when you get a foot MRI, anytime you have any injury to the foot, everything lights up. Like it looks like seven things are injured just because there's so much inflammation there. Unlike a knee where you're like, ACL's torn, you can see it. So I almost wonder that this was the extra caution. You get this report and you're like trying to, you know, kind of chase it a little bit. Because it didn't look that bad. Based on the injury itself and how he kind of stood up immediately.
Yeah. We have a couple questions from callers. So I want to throw these out there.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
You actually answered one of them, from Megan Cote asking, you know, difference between this and the Anthony Davis injury. So I'm going to skip over that one, but Ricky Garcia, regular listener, Light Years podcast, goes, given how the Dubs have handled other injuries in the past, do you feel like the org is hiding something with kind of putting, I assume he means with putting optimism out there?
No, I don't think they are at all. I mean, I think with, you know, with Curry, like, I think they were great. They reported initially and said it was soreness and said it was a sprain. You know, they're telling kind of each step along the way. So I think they're more cautious than anything else. You think a lot of more teams are a lot more aggressive in terms of getting players back. So the fact that they're saying he's out indefinitely, we're going to kind of take this slowly, I don't think that they're hiding anything, and it just doesn't make sense that there'd be anything to hide given what we saw on the court and how he responded. If anything at all, they might be, you know, kind of being super cautious with him, more so than hiding something major.
I was curious why they didn't say like, he's out a week, we'll reevaluate him in a week. Cause isn't that what they did with CP3? Like, hey, he's out 6 weeks. Right. And it's like, we'll reevaluate him the end of the season. And it's like, well, shit, he's not coming back. Like, you know, I wonder why they didn't do that with Steph.
Yeah, I think it's the nature of a foot MRI. So, you know, one of the things, like, you get a knee MRI and you're like, look, the ACL's torn. It's like when Clay got hurt, like immediately got that MRI that night. Foot MRIs are really hard to interpret, just because there's so much stuff going on. And I also probably think that what they probably wanted to do is, you know, the Dr. Ferkel, the guy who did Curry's ankle surgery and kind of helped him back, they're probably like, look, we got to go down to the expert and have him kind of weigh in. Because I think you place yourself in a weird situation. You're like, we're going to, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, someone else looks at it and then, you know, his surgeon looks at it. So I wouldn't be surprised that once he goes down there, then we're going to get that. It's going to be concrete. Exactly the timeline. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Woj hedged it a little bit. Like, hey, the Warriors are optimistic that he'll be back before the regular season. And then it's like, well, but he's also going to go see his specialist and maybe, you know, I was like, okay, I don't. Yeah.
So let me give you guys my, you know, conspiracy thing. Connecting what you're saying and kind of reading into it. Would it be fair to say the reason they rushed the MRI last night, even though it's maybe not the best time to do one, if I heard you right, like it might be better to wait a day to do one just so inflammation goes down, is just because of the nature of who it is and we're in the home stretch of the season. So they wanted that like initial confirmation that nothing is broken in there. And we're not really going to get an actual idea on timeline until we get a couple days past and he's seen a specialist and maybe a little swelling's gone down and there's like a clear idea of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And like in general, with, you know, with people in general, they have a swollen foot, you get the MRI and we're like, oh, all this stuff is looks like it's injured. Let's wait a couple of days and see what actually hurts, you know? So like, it, honestly, I think it's probably going to be maybe day four or day five where we get a little timeline, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to say, you know, the usual, we'll take it week by week. We'll evaluate him in 14 days and see where he is. But I do agree, like you're, because of the player, because of the time, they probably just like, we need to know if anything really bad is there. And we've kind of ruled that out, hopefully. And now we're going to kind of pick up the pieces in terms of actual timelines. Yeah.
Appreciate that insight, Doc. I want to leave you with one question.
Yes.
What date will we get notification that Steph is ramping up?
Okay. it could, you know, it will probably be in 5 days. And then there could be a Iguodala ramp up, a Curry ramp up, a Wiseman ramp up. And, you know, who else is ramping
Do
up?
Do they have enough ramps?
Yeah. I know.
GB2, he's ramped. GB2's ramped. He's back Sunday. He's ramped. He's
fully
ramped.
Exactly. So I think everyone's getting on the on-ramp.
Yeah. Well, actually, while we have you here, the Wiseman stuff, is he, you've watched him. Does he look good? Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's looked great. I mean, the things you can really, I mean, basketball aside, I know people are questioning what he looks like, but he's strong. He's jumping well. No, he doesn't look like he's swollen. He looks great from a knee standpoint.
They need him.
That's good.
Thanks, Doc.
Doc, we really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, I was hoping Dr. Pandya would tell us March 30th, he's back, but such as it is, we're probably not going to get like a more concrete update till after the Spurs game. Let's be real. Like, we'll know. Sounds like we're going to have to wait a couple of days on that. With all that said, like, I don't know if we're going to see him the rest of the regular season. Nope. Maybe we see him the last couple of games. Maybe not. All right. So that brings up the most obvious question. We're going to discuss on future pods, like, how much this affects their ability to build chemistry before the playoffs. But I want to ask you this. Right now, the Warriors are 3.5 games up. 12 games left. The other teams have 13 games left. They're all tied, and that's the Utah Jazz, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Denver Nuggets. They're all basically tied.
Yep.
Do you think the Warriors are in danger of losing the 3 seed?
Yeah, absolutely. But 3.5 games is a lot in 12 games. The Warriors should be good enough to hold on and get the 3 seed. Jordan Poole was spectacular last night. It's our guy. Our guy, he should be special down the stretch here. Keep in mind, like, last silly season, right, is what they call it in fantasy basketball. Half the teams aren't even playing basketball right now. They don't care. Right. Sadiq Bey has 49 points right now. You know that? Like, that's a joke. Like, half the NBA teams are not playing basketball right now. They should be able to win the games that they should win, like the Spurs, right? And once it comes down to, like, 8 games left and there's still 3 games up, like, it's hard to choke that away. So I do think they hold on to it.
Yeah, I'm like looking at their schedule and I'm just assuming Steph isn't playing. It's like, okay, Spurs win, Magic win, Heat loss, you know, Wizards win, Grizzlies loss. And it's like, it works out to like, they should be 500 the rest of the way at kind of as a worst case, you know, maybe even 7-5. That would put them at 53 or 54 wins. And it seems very hard. The other teams will catch them.
Yep.
If the Warriors just take care of what they need to, obviously they're not going to catch Memphis now. And they might drop way. And they might drop a game or two that they probably wouldn't drop without Steph. Oh, they will drop a game or two.
Yes,
they'll drop that Steph. Not might, they will. It's just about holding the fort down. I guess my real question for you is, knowing that Steph is probably not going to play in the regular season, and the Warriors going to enter the playoffs with the core three playing 11 total minutes. Do you think it benefits the Warriors to stay in the three seed? Like, do you, it's a little,
what are you saying?
It's a little early to look at playoff matchups just because everyone's bunched up. You know what I mean? But like, do you think the Warriors want to be on the same side as the Grizzlies as opposed to the Suns?
I don't think it matters anymore. I think at this point they could play Minnesota. It'd be a tough matchup right now with Steph just coming back, right? Like, I don't think it's any easier or any harder. The Suns and Memphis, I think both right now are going to be better than the Warriors when they play each other. It's very simply just going to be pray how healthy Steph is and see if Draymond and Klay are healthy. By the way, take a step back a little bit. They're going to win like 54 games this season with Klay missing half the games, Draymond missing 2 months, and now Steph for a month. This team is a 60-win team. Like, they could have been a 60-win team. How crazy is that? So that's kind of insane, right? But
I'm looking at it right now. Steph's going to finish the season playing 64 games. Yeah. Draymond will probably finish at about 46.
Wow.
That's the year. Klay, maybe 35.
Wow.
I mean, that's why I say Steve Kerr deserves credit for this year, because like last year they shouldn't have been as bad as they were. I know Kelly Oubre and stuff were not as good, but it was like you left a lot of wins on the table when you could have manufactured them. This year they've manufactured a lot of wins under adversity. They just have
100%. I mean, that's a positive take, right? Like, it's just, this team has been very, very good in the regular season. So at this point it's like, can they, like, the question is like, yeah, it's really almost impossible to win a championship when your best three guys haven't played together in 2 years. So there's that. But, you know, maybe if Steph like Doc said, if Steph is healthy and it's not like that knee in 2016 where Steph wore down on that knee, right, where he just like kind of couldn't really move anymore. If he does come back fully healthy, yeah, they have a good shot at it. I don't know if it matters really who they play at that point.
All right. So let's just, in the first round, they're going to play. In almost any scenario, it's going to be one of these three teams: Jazz, Mavericks, Nuggets.
Tough.
Do you have a preference there? Like, you know, you're getting Steph back with little time. So,
yes, I do.
You probably want the easiest matchup just so he can ramp up in the playoffs. Yes. You know, that's it.
Yes, I do. Do you know who I want to see?
Who's that?
The Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz. Yeah. It's the Utah Jazz. It's have Gobert play drop coverage on Steph, right? Their defensive personnel
go
isn't
small.
Great, right? Go small. And Donnie Mitchell is awesome, but you throw Wiggins, GP2, Klay, those guys on them, you should be okay. Like, that's a team that they should beat in six games.
And more than anything, they can't guard the Warriors when Draymond's at the five. They're too spaced out and they're too shitty on the perimeter. They just are. They're like, they're the perfect matchup for, let's just say, a rusty Steph working into it. They can beat the Jazz with Steph being a decoy and Jordan Poole and Klay going off. You know, I feel like the toughest one of those ones, probably the Mavericks, because they can
agree. Yeah.
They can really defend. Yeah. And I really don't want to be in a situation where you need Steph to close games aggressively in round one while he's working his way off an injury versus a team that can defend. And then on the flip side, they have someone like Luka who, I mean, he's a damn good closer himself. So,
well, they've Luka, Brunson, and Dinwiddie. Now they're attacking Steph on defense, right? And you're looking at them. You're like,
Go with the LeBron Harden offense. So they're just going to try to get him an ISO over and over again.
Yep.
And it's I want to avoid that matchup, considering we know Steph is first round's going to be what the end of the season was supposed to be for the Warriors. Like, you want that to be as easy as possible to work out, because if they get through it, it's going to be a war in round two, no matter what.
And still, those are not easy teams. Like, those are not shit. Like, those are all good teams, right? So it's tough either way. Even Minnesota's playing special basketball right now. So like, even if somehow they end up with a two seed, right, and they end up playing Minnesota at the seven, like, it's not an easy matchup. Like, it is not an easy matchup for them. So it's all tough matchups. I think, like, the good news is that they feel, and the doc feels like, yeah, he should be back for the first round. It's not like, you know, 16 and 19, it was like, okay, he's going to miss the first round or he's going to miss a few games.
Or he got hurt in the first round. Yeah.
Right. Like this is, hey, he should be back. Like he should be back and he should be healthy. So.
Yeah. It's going to, I feel like the next month, cause the playoffs start in a little, they start a month,
almost a month. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be about like standings watch because prior to this injury, I didn't care who the Warriors played in round one. I just wanted them to be healthy. Well, now they're officially not healthy. So it really does matter who they play. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because, like you said, if Utah fall, if they end up playing Utah in round one, they don't need Steph fully healthy to work that team in five games. And then Steph gets healthy, and then they're in a decent position going against a Memphis or a Phoenix.
Yeah.
If they get against Dallas, they get in a seven-game war. Like, that's rough. That's really rough when we don't know what kind of shape Steph's going to be in day one when the playoffs start.
Yep. Yep. I think the final thought here for me, too, is the Warriors, they slow play, right? And they've been slow playing all this time. They can't slow play anymore. they can't say, well, we're going to sit them out for the first two games of the, you know, KD's not on the team. I can't sit him out for two games because I felt like against the Pelicans. If
he
can
go, he has to go. Yeah.
He has to go. He has to. It's like that Houston series or when he came back against Portland. When he's ready, he's got to go. That's it.
I actually have one more question. She said, keep coming. Okay. Mm. For the last 12 games, most important player on the Warriors to right the ship, to make sure they enter the playoffs with whatever positive momentum is. And like, you know, the worst case scenario is they do what they do other times when Steph leaves and they go 3-9. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like they're limping in and it's embarrassing. Sure. Who do you think is the most important player to prevent that from happening?
I think it's very easily Draymond. I think it's very, very easily. Yeah. It's just, if he's back and he's the same defensive player as he is, like you said, like they should be able to beat Utah. I mean, Steph has to be playing, but if he's healthy and they can play small ball five right away in the postseason, they're good. Like, I think it's pretty easy.
And just like beat the, you know, beat the Lakers, beat the Kings, beat those type of things.
Teams. Oh God, right? The Lakers.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think Draymond, like, we all make fun of the traffic cop stuff, but you watch Klay Thompson trying to go one-on-one. I want Draymond being a traffic cop telling him where to go right now, you know? Yeah. And I think that's Draymond taking ownership of this team. Like, he has more weapons than in the past. He doesn't have Steph, but Poole, Klay, and Wiggins, that's three scoring threats around him. You know, that he can do some things. I really need that peak Draymond in the next game or two to come back because that's what's going to probably steady the ship until Steph comes back.
Yep. 100%.
All right. We'll be back, hopefully not with another negative emergency pod, guys.